We understand that not everybody wakes up as early as Joe Thomas. The Snooze Alarm Survivor Podcast. Don't be fooled by radio.
Free smartphone app 434-964-1075 is the phone number. Emails come into joe@wchv.com. The debt bill passes, but four times as many no votes as the tracking polls, and I love how they do these tracking polls of congressional members, four times as many no votes as the tracking polls had told you were going to be there. Now, were they show votes? Were they people in districts that were tightly contested and they needed to be seen as being renegades, get the John McCain stamp for them? Or were they really conscientious objectors? We'll get into that. Also, the Biden witness and FBI Director Ray's contempt of Congress. Now understand that if this was Bill Barr and President Trump was still in office, he'd already be charged with contempt of Congress for not complying with a subpoena. We'll get into that. DEI at Chick-fil-A, obviously this thing, but more acronyms. TEA coming back. Bad news, and I'm not an economics expert, but if the big economic development news story of the day is that Goodwill Industries is opening a drop-off site and hiring four people to run it, that's probably a bad sign for your local economy. I'm just saying. Yes, and first off, don't forget, Goodwill Industries is a for-profit operation, and their CEO makes nice bank. But that's okay, because it's Goodwill Industry. You give your clothes, and poor people get your clothes, and the more people who do that, the better. So if you need more Goodwill drop-off sites, it's probably not a good sign. Candidate forum yesterday, we'll get into that. Also, the trans lecture. And I want to pick up with something as an abstract on the transgender policies lecture that if you look at it, you can probably see where they covered over where it said Louisa County and Loudoun County and just made it Albemarle County's transgender and expansive students policy. And it's a sad place. It's a sad place in a grand abstract. When we are looking for such, maybe we're all just so bereft of affirmation. We're so crass to one another that an individual's friendship, maybe we've grown so addicted to likes and retweets that we need bigger and bigger affirmations. And that just somebody loving you is no longer sufficient. You need the government to endorse you. And I don't think it'll ever get to the point where there'll be an individual campaign to get the government to endorse you individually. But we're down to percentages of the population that are numbering in the single digits. Yet the government is being asked to endorse their behavior lest it be considered some violation of the Civil Rights Act. And somewhere that vibration you hear is Martin Luther King Jr. spinning in his grave. Because civil rights were codified very eloquently in his last public address, just live up to the words you wrote down on paper. Don't give us new, don't give us more. You don't have to do anything more than get the hell out of the way. Just live up to the words you wrote down on paper. Pretty simple message. Well, now, no, that's no longer sufficient. We're smarter than that. We're bigger than that. We're faster than that. Have you seen my Twitter feeds? And that's the depressing part of this morning, is when I watch people who are just asking the government to endorse them. When all of this is about getting the government to endorse your belief structure, lifestyle, clothing choices, you name it. You name it, that's what we're spending all of our time and treasure doing, is trying to get the government to put some USDA seal of approval on us. And there are not a lot of things that make it hard for me to come in here and sit down with you in the morning and be upbeat and say, rah, rah, carpe that diem with both hands. But listening to people say that I need the government to endorse my whatever it is you have, your lifestyle, your sexual proclivities, your clothing choices, your hairstyles. I mean, I get it, but it still doesn't mean it doesn't depress me. But I will go back to the words of the late Dr. King.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper.
The only social media app that doesn't tell you what the Chinese government wants you to hear. Or the FBI, either.
The coercive power of government.
Download the free Seville 1075 app.
Surveillance mics sold separately.
So yesterday, the Albemarle County Schools wheeled out every expert, textbert, short of the new president of the Charlottesville Regional Chamber of Commerce on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And you would have thought, you know, there were so many DEI experts in this panel, it would have been sponsored by Chick-fil-A. All right, time out. By the way, Chick-fil-A's had a DEI coordinator for 2 years prior to now. It's just like the governor's office actually by law has to have one. So the Governor Youngkin had to appoint one. These people who legislate morality and then say, we don't like conservatives because they want to legislate morality. But yeah, Chick-fil-A is getting hammered over the whole DEI officer in their company. But, you know, beyond that, this lecture that the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors gave everyone on DEI and why they need to get with the program and why it's the right thing to pander to kids, or actually more appropriately pander to the kids' adults so that they'll vote for us and we'll get on the news being seen as open-minded. Because nobody wants to be seen as open-minded. There's a fella at Mar-a-Lago that is the avatar of closed-mindedness. So the lecture goes on and on about, you know, how we should indulge these children's behavior. And I kept thinking, well, what if the kid likes taking heroin? Should we indulge that behavior too? What if I identify as a junkie? Can I do that too? Can I get approval for that? And I know that sounds harsh, but it seems like that's what we're doing, is if a kid says, I want to be something, we should just indulge that. I want to drive. Sonny, you're 10, and you've never learned how to drive. I want to drive. All right, well, we're going to have to indulge it. I mean, it was just a bunch of adults saying, you know, the children shall lead, I guess. Good morning. You're on the air with Joe Thomas in the Morning. Who's this?
This is Greg. Let me tell you something. Uh-oh. The Chamber of Commerce has no business in DEIB, whatever the heck it is. What is it?
Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
No. What they're doing is they're making certain baskets of individuals more important than everybody who is equal under the law, according to the original construct of the Constitution.
Absolutely.
Now, these people are Maoist. They're being run by Maoist. Our Board of Supervisors has bought into the Maoist philosophy. All of the MBAs who graduate from college have bought into the Maoist philosophy.
Sure.
This Chamber of Commerce should be involved in helping businesses work with the county and city in zoning and in infrastructure and things that make business available to the whole of us. These people are nothing but communists. And we are now evolving into a Maoist China model in our structure of this country. These people will be ashamed of themselves when they look in the mirror.
Well, Greg, I don't know if you, and of course we're referencing the fact that the feathers in the cap of the new chamber president, and boy, you know, who would have thought the day when Tim Hulbert seems like Ronald Reagan politically, you know, or ideologically compared to somebody, but all of the feathers in the new, in the incoming president's hat are that she was with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce leading their DEI programs, there. So expect this, but this is the desperate attempt to get some free PR for your business. Oh, I'm DEI, so we're going to get some PR. Let's see how that works. It's already blown up in the face of Bud Light and Target. And so the leftists went there and said, yeah, but Chick-fil-A too, trying to get the conservatives to rail on Chick-fil-A. But the bigger issue here is that this is this new idea of government creating rights for you. And you mentioned Maoist. And we said this yesterday. We got talking about this yesterday. When Mao took over in China, he didn't substantively change the life of a Chinese citizen. He made it a little bit better because they had better clothes, and now they felt like they had a say in who their feudal lords were, because now it was kind of an elected position. It wasn't just a birthright. So Mao was wildly successful, more so than Lenin, in taking communism over, because it was already sort of the lifestyle of China anyway. So they've taken that model of slowly changing your mindset to where your life is about what money comes to you from the government. This is what we were saying earlier, that we have come to view the American government as her expenditures, not her liberties. The America is how much money am I getting from her? And that is how we wind up Maoist, because that's what Mao, you know, said is, you know, you will be given what the government deems necessary.
Well, you know, we've got, you know, I work in construction business, you know, all my life, being a stonemason, and every job site automatically has diversity. If you know how to do something, you get hired. Bottom line, it doesn't matter what race, creed, color, whatever you want to call it is, all that stupid nonsense. It's stupid. We all are equal. We all love each other. We all get along. We always have. I mean, we fuss at each other because that's what guys do. We make fun of each other. And we're very politically incorrect. And at the end of the day, we go home happy because we make fun of each other's weaknesses, strengths, and everything. And there is no political correctness on any of my jobs. And when I say my jobs, that doesn't mean I own the business. It just means that's who I'm working with. And we love each other, and we're happy, and we believe in God. And that's how it is. And we don't need some stupid DIABCD nonsense Chamber of Commerce coming in and telling us how to run our show.
Well, you may get it if we keep losing elections like this. And I mean, even the ones that we think Republicans won. Greg, God bless you, sir. Hang on to it, and you keep breaking stones.
On WCHV's history, we've covered fighting in the streets, hatred, racism, and fascists. Now it's just 2017. Here's to 90 more years serving Central Virginia.
I'd like to announce my candidacy. I'd appreciate it if you vote for me.
Joe Thomas in the morning, and twer, it's so easy, Joe. So in this, as we all become democracy junkies, and part of this is what DEI drives. So DEI, and to be fair, DEI, and we fought back on this in the House, the idea that the Securities and Exchange Commission requires DEI compliance. The New York Stock Exchange, these investment firms, we were going to have guidance that we're going to tell your wealth managers to disregard earning the most money possible for your retirement in exchange for higher DEI scores, that you are no longer allowed to only consider, and you can, as a matter of your own choice, tell your retirement manager that you would like your 401k or your IRA, whatever it is, managed in such a way as to only invest in companies that are woke. That's okay. That's up to you. But what was happening is the U.S. government was getting in and saying, no longer are the fiduciary responsibilities of your wealth manager simply to earn your retirement the most money possible. No. They must factor in DEI into it. They must invest in DEI programs, even if it makes you less money. And it's not gone. It's still there as policy. It's not a rule that's going to get a fiduciary disbarred, or whatever they call it in the financial world. But this is the pandering populism that we see in the Albemarle County School Board lecture regarding trans policies. And, mark, May 31st, 2023 down as the date when what happened in Loudoun County schools, and without being graphic for the kids going to school and parents getting up and trying to have a cup of coffee. I think most of us, and if you don't know what happened in the bathrooms of a couple of different Loudoun County schools where transgender children were allowed to intermingle, how do I clean this up for public consumption? A boy dressed as a girl who had told the teachers he wanted to be a girl, apparently misspoke and just wanted girls instead, and took some. And if I need to be clearer than that, you're going to have to call 434-964-1075. And after the first time he took a girl without her permission, they said, oh, we will punish you. We will send you to a new hunting ground in a different Loudoun County school so you can hunt fresh game. And these are the same leftists who will tell you that Catholicism must be banned because of the behavior of some bad priests and the bad diocese that covered up for them. The same people will have the same conversation and probably not even realize how hypocritical they are. So all of this pandering, and it manifests. So it starts down here at the Albemarle School's lecture on transgender, how 1% of the student population gets to dictate terms and put, 99% of the girls in the school in danger of guys who are like, wear a skirt? All right. I mean, kilts were becoming more and more fashionable anyway. He says, knowing that's going to get somebody pissed off at him. But it goes all the way up to Washington and the debt limit and spending cuts bill. And the pandering populace there who want to be seen as sending money to all the people who need to have money sent to them. Because America is no longer defending your rights. It is about what money do we send you? And with 117 people, twice as many Republicans as first reported, and 46 Democrats all voting no. A couple of you asked because they wanted to know and they hadn't seen it anywhere. How did our locals vote on the debt limit and spending cuts bill? Bob Good, a no, as he promised us. Ben Klein, a no. I know there some nervous people out there. Said, "Oh no." Let's check in on the lovely and talented Congresswoman Yesley Vega. Oh no, that's right. The Get Out the Vote campaign made sure that didn't happen. Congresswoman Spanberger, aye. Yes, the independent voice of the 7th Congressional District voted, sure, let's do that. So just a quick look around your elected representatives. Good morning. You're on the air with Joe Thomas in the morning. Who's this?
Hey, Joe. This is Bud. You know, I enjoyed Greg's comment, you know, about creating special groups. But and you're talking DEI. I thought it was DIE or
yeah, well,
but what about SESG? Isn't that all kind of the same thing?
Well, that's environmental social governance. See, that's a bigger, broader thing.
Yeah, but it's a score, and it's, you know, they want you to adhere to that, or you're going to get blackballed.
Yeah, DEI is actually a subtext of ESG. So, you start to feel like, oh my goodness, we're in a nursery rhyme. ESG, DIE.
Oh, I know. WEF. We're acronyms now, aren't we?
Yeah, we all are. That makes it easier to label each other. You know, MWM. You know, married white male.
Yeah, HGA or HGD. Have a great day. Yeah.
I wish it was so easy, but this is what happens. There was this long hair, libertarian minded kid from Charlottesville, caused a whole bunch of trouble a couple hundred years ago. Said something about a government powerful to give.
Oh, I'm in a bad spot. I'm losing you, but I'll listen.
All right. Well, this long hair troublemaker from Charlottesville. Said once, a government powerful enough to give you everything is also a government powerful enough to take it all away from you. And that's where we are. We have decided that our government is its expenditures. And it ties back, got this email, oh my goodness, I have not heard a conversation about the gold standard in 10 years. I'm calling Ron Paul's office right now. Oh, more acronyms coming in. Michael writes in SMH. he is correcting that trans boy raped two female children, not adults, children. Apologies if I mistranslated the story. My point was that he was in the girls' bathroom. Because he had identified as a girl. And my point was May 31st, mark down the date, when Dr. Haas and the rest of the members of the Albemarle County School Board made it permissible for the same behaviors to happen again and lecture you about how if you oppose the idea, you're the bad guy.
Celebrating Founding Fathers Day every day.
The issue here is independence.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Some people say I'm obnoxious and lazy. I'm uneducated. My opinion means nothing. But I know I'm a real good dancer. Don't need to look over my shoulder.
Now
Thomas in the morning at your service. Offensive Network to work with Skylar. Did you see the 10 million open job positions right now? We were talking about Ridge yesterday with Neil Williamson. Free Enterprise Forum. Retail sales going through the roof, and all the retail operators are saying, yeah, I'm busy, and I got no staff. It's not a good situation to be in. Everyone is struggling to find staff and get people in there. And that's the thing about life. It is supposed to be as simple as that. Hey, I've got an idea. Will you help me do it? That's the American economy. I've got an idea. Will you help me realize it? Sure. That's it. I'm sorry to all the folks who paid a lot of money to the Darden School. That is economics 101. You are either somebody who has an idea to serve some people in the community, to serve a need, or you're somebody who has decided that you want to help them do that. And that was what made America's economy exceptional, was that you chose to help somebody, or you were that somebody. But it was all motivated from within. And that motivation from within is what made America exceptional. And we have bastardized it ever since. And it's really about the money changers. It's about being this venture capitalist. Here's a question. Rich writes in to Joe at WCHV.com. As you know, the big item of political news this week was the debt deal between McCarthy and Biden. Really, Rick? I'm teasing you. I'm just teasing you. I'm on my last good nerve anyway. I'm just having some fun, lest I cry. I don't think Biden's negotiators, I don't think Biden himself could do much more than read talking points. Interestingly, Charlie Kirk had something on his show that I had never heard anywhere else, but it makes sense. He said there's actually a third entity involved, that the entity, the Senate Republican Warhawks. Well, actually, I heard Charlie yesterday talking about this too. I mean, the entire entity of the U.S. Senate was AWOL during this whole thing. And I think intentionally so. I think Chuck Schumer knew that there were too many people like Lindsey Graham and Tim Kaine. Tim Kaine is a hard no right now when it comes to this. So Rick writes in, it only needs nine Republicans. No, Rick didn't write that. Somebody else did. But he's talking about the War Hawks and the cuts in military spending. And Lindsey Graham is a no on this. But Tim Kaine is a no on this. Tim Kaine is a no because it includes the Mountain Valley Pipeline. And Tim Kaine has a reelection campaign already underway. And he can't have red and the rest of the red ones, all the stand with the reds from Southside Virginia, coming after him. He can't lose that. Or he's afraid to lose that. So Tim Kaine has said he's a hard no on the debt reduction and spending cuts bill, which is about neither, of course. But it was brilliant on behalf of Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell to take a powder for that week. And the media just as complicit. How many headlines were there on Friday of last week about the Republicans in the House abandoning the American people because they were about to go home for the weekend? The Senate had been gone for a week. Not a single headline outside of this program and my afternoon constitutional, where we talked about it to the point where I got the idea you couldn't have cared less. Nobody reacted to the Senate not being there. I was beating my head against the wall. I stopped talking about it because you apparently couldn't have cared less that the Senate wasn't there. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, why didn't Kevin McCarthy just put it on Chuck Schumer's desk and walk away? It's not like there's not precedent for it. Nancy Pelosi used to do this all the time. She'd pass a bill, something had passed through the Democrat House, and she'd put it on Mitch McConnell's desk and say it's up to the Republicans. But that's the populism of it. Is everyone just wants to be seen as the cool popular kid.
He's not even Speaker of his own house, but he does okay for us.
The shootout in the Belmont Corral.
Joe Thomas, weekday mornings on Seville 107.5 FM and 1260 AM.
Joe Thomas in the morning. Yes, that is the sound of my last good nerve. And can you expect anything less from your humble host? You feel the same way. We're just having a hoedown. And not the kind they accused Donald Trump of having in Moscow. The hootenanny on your last good nerve. Picking and grinning, that's what they're doing as they make you drink from the fire hose. And it's all designed so you just say, please, as God is my witness, make it stop. And then they say, sure, we have a plan to do just that. Sign here. Because they don't have, and Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, none of them have the intestinal fortitude. I was going to let that hang out there for a second there. So none of them, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, Joe Biden, Mitch McConnell, none of them have the intestinal fortitude to actually say, all right, we're introducing an amendment to disband the U.S. Constitution. None of them have the guts to do it. None of them, because they don't have a process, because they couldn't sell you what they actually want to do. If they wrote down how they're governing right now on paper and handed it to you and say, this is how we want things to operate, you would not only vote no, you would vote hell no. Because you don't think it's happening to you. It's still only happening to a small enough percentage of the population. But here's the problem. Little by little, that population becomes the population that we work for or owns a majority share of the company we work for. You understand what I'm getting at here? Is this all starts to manifest, or your business requires other people to have jobs. We were talking about the Daily Progress the other day. And how the Daily Progress is now going to go to every 3 days. And I know they're going to try to reboot the old TV show Early Edition. It's going to be weird. I mean, I don't know how you get tomorrow's newspaper today in an online fashion. And how does it work if you only publish the newspaper once every other day? Does the Orange Cat deliver the newspaper 2 days early? Or do you get it on the day when nobody else gets the newspaper? I don't know. But anyway, but it's based in the fact that the businesses that advertise in the newspaper, I can speak conversantly about it because we struggle with the same thing in broadcast media. We don't even charge you. The newspaper says, well, we got to have to charge you a little bit for this. But in broadcast media, we're sending it out to you for free. But the businesses that would sponsor us, and one of the reasons that of all the stations, all my brethren and sister in stations, WCHV actually really didn't suffer all that much downturn during COVID, was because our clientele are not the kind of businesses that were going to get shut down underneath Ralph Northam's sheets. So we didn't suffer as much because we didn't have as many restaurants and nightclubs and movie theaters and swimming pools and health clubs and all the other things that were getting shut down and are still struggling to come back. But it is a struggle because you go into a business and you say, I hope our marketing team is going into businesses across the Commonwealth saying, how can we help you? How can we help you reach the people who might come into your shop or buy your product online or whatever it may be? And half of them are saying, oh, God is my witness. Get me more employees. That's what I need. So we're going to talk to Ridge Schuyler about that in a little bit. But this has all begun under the false warranty that the government can manage these things. Have you ever worked for a micromanager? If you haven't, then you might be the micromanager. I think most of us, if we reach a certain age, have worked for a micromanager. Dear sweet man I used to work for at Bayside Burger King named Greg Mullen. And he was the hardest working man in fast food, but he could not delegate to save his life. And I most people were truly concerned that he was going to have a mental breakdown because he was just running around like crazy. He couldn't let other people do. And that's how our government has become. They are like social micromanagers. Let me get you in here before I have to run to break. Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, Joe. It's Roger.
Hey, Roger. What's on your mind, sir, before I have to run to break here?
Interesting thing that's not talked about much in the debt bill that's going to severely impact the economy going into the next election is the fact that student loan payments are going to be restarting this fall. So I guarantee you that 99% of the people who had their loan payments suspended didn't set aside the money that they otherwise would have paid down the loan or actually paid it down while they had this moratorium. So people are now going to have to fork over money that they were spending in the economy. So consumer spending is going to take a big hit. The only way around this, and this is a possible silver lining, is that people will actually have to take jobs that they weren't necessarily thinking of previously. And it may be picking up a part-time job at a restaurant to pay that bill.
That was actually my take on that proviso. It's just the same thing as bringing workfare back. It's saying, okay, the fun is over, the party's over, the sun is coming up, it's time to go back to work. And there are this is part of why 47 Democrats voted against it, because they just don't like that idea.
Oh, it's like, why make people work when they can stay home? I mean, that would be my choice. But I think a lot of this, you know, with companies saying remote, we found that remote work does, you know, we had to do it, but now when we have an option, we're not going to do it. Amazon's workers are saying they're not going to come back. Well, good luck. I don't know where you're going to find these magical stay-at-home jobs.
You know, six-figure job. Yeah, and Amazon pays good, too, and they're going to give up that? This is why, you know, when I listen to the city councilor talk about how horrible the conditions are for the city bus drivers, and I think, well, hold on a second here. Aren't you the one in charge of the city bus drivers' lot in life?
That's one of the most frustrating things is they don't have any perspective on this. I heard last week that Tim Kaine was going to, you know, pass a bill to get more money to subsidize child care. And it's just like, well, you know, Tim, if you look back to when you were a kid, you could support your family pumping gas at the gas station or delivering milk. And then we went off the gold standard and the government started printing money, which meant people couldn't afford to live. So their spouses had to get jobs. So you created the need for child care by spending too much money. And now your solution is to spend more money to subsidize a problem you created.
Of course, but that's what they always do. And that's how, you know, and this is really the sort of normalization that I connected to Maoism, where, you know, they will get you to vote for the subjugation of your own, you know, individuality in exchange for just being able to survive, man. I got to run, Roger. Good stuff, my friend. Nope, he's already gone. So there you go.
The original social media. Call Joe Thomas in the morning on anything.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
Really?
Oh, well, where you?
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV. This is a special presentation of WCHV News. In collaboration with the Albemarle Charlottesville Historical Society, the biggest local news stories from each of the 90 years since we went on the air in 1933. 90 for 90.
Reporting from the Albemarle Charlottesville Historical Society, I'm Sterling Howell.
And I'm Miranda Burnett.
In 1943, the director of the U.S. Bureau of Foreign and Domestic Commerce, now known as the U.S. Secretary of Commerce, visited Charlottesville to address the Chamber of Commerce. He warned them that pent-up demand for consumer spending could lead to inflation beyond the end of World War II.
Planning began in Scottsville on a project to build a tire and rubber manufacturing facility to support the war effort.
To learn more, visit us online at albemarlehistory.org.
Stay tuned for more trips back through our 90 years serving the Charlottesville area and to catch up on previous episodes of the podcast page on WCHV.com.
Joe Thomas in the morning, heading on out, and wanted to finish up on a couple of things. And the Legal Aid Justice Center was holding a forum amongst candidates for the House of Delegates yesterday, and this was Sally Hudson on the role of justice reform, I believe, is the clip here. Do we not have Sally's clip of the here it is.
I am a deep believer that the projects that our legislators undertake should be.
You messed it up.
That's okay. Can I use my teacher voice? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
My name is Sally Hudson, and for the last 4 years, I have been serving Charlottesville and Albany County in the House of Delegates. And I'm a deep believer that the projects that we undertake ought to be driven by the people we serve. And I have been so blessed to partner closely with the Legal Aid Justice Center, with FAR, with the People's Coalition on so many of the projects that I've carried and passed in my first two terms in office. On the housing front, I passed the legislation that is now entitling the City Council to create new incentives for affordable housing construction in our new comprehensive plan.
So, and she goes on, and you hear what I was talking about. This is manifest of exactly what I was saying all along. This is, you could not possibly function without the government helping you out. This is the extrapolation from, well, you didn't build that. And we all sort of joked about, well, you didn't build that. But this is, you didn't build that writ large. This is you didn't build that. You shouldn't build that. And understand that there's a reason for this. So, free market capitalism, Milton Friedman, and considering how successful edchoice.org has become in getting school choice into states, Milton Friedman needs to come back and work on free market economics now, since he's been very successful at getting school choice. That was his second stanza, was he and his wife started the Ed Choice movement. Because he realized school choice is as much important as economic choice. And we mentioned this earlier, the idea that you cannot do for yourself begins with the Great Society, because there was a group of people who had become very poor because we were still in the throes of Jim Crow laws. There were still places you couldn't get work. And the government had started its international adventures overseas to help promote making and manufacturing things overseas rather than in the United States. Because at this point, by the early 60s, our labor policy had become so corrupted that it was becoming more affordable to manufacture something hundreds of thousands of miles away, ship it, still pay a union guy to unload the ship. But that's only one union guy, not the 10 or 12 union guys that would have been involved in making it. And we had allowed, out of populism, out of fear, this idea. And I remember my father-in-law so frequently saying this. He would fight with the rank and file members of his machinists union because they would want more money in their paychecks. And he said, no, the company, we need to make sure that the company stays solvent so that we have jobs, but we're also getting retirement. We don't want retirement. We want the money now. And he would fight this battle all the time. He would get so frustrated. And then by the time he was in his retirement, all these retirees that he had represented were calling him, thanking him for all of their friends were struggling to make ends meet. They weren't, because they had a fully funded pension fund that the union had built. And it was how it was supposed to work. It was just a group of people looking out for one another. And understanding that, you know, the union doesn't mean anything if the company goes out of business. It's why Woodrow Wilson was so afraid of municipal unions. Michael Payne and his statements on the school, on the city bus driver unions. We have the news item on the cat voting yesterday to unionize?
Charlottesville area transit workers have voted to form a union. It comes after the city council passed a collective bargaining ordinance allowing city employees to unionize.
City Councilor Michael Payne says he hopes this closes the bus driver shortage in the city.
And I think that's really what it comes down to, is workers having good enough pay and having a voice on the job and good working conditions is what makes them want to come work here and stay here.
So they apparently haven't had that while working for the city up to this point. Never mind the fact that I am still trying to find out the status of the one city employee that was beat to nearly death with a baseball bat at the city yard the other day. We will report on that as soon as I have any details at all on this, but it's horrific. One city, it was two city employees. I guess one former city employee now, but not arrested from what I understand. But this idea that we have to wait for the government to do it for us is what has ruined the American economy. And we're still generating $400 billion in tax revenue. Look at what we did in Virginia just with some simple rudimentary tax cuts. Not even all of the ones the governor wanted to do. And we've had record-setting tax collections since, because we started engaging in economy more. Oh, on the subject of that forum, the Legal Aid Justice Center, Nancy writes in, Katrina and Sally were several times dismissive of Philip Hamilton's answers in snide ways. You can hear one of the incidents from Katrina Carlson. The tone does not reflect the disdain of the words. Cree Deeds was polite to me and said that he would meet with me after the primary when I spoke to him about the convention of states. Sally would hardly let me finish as I presented my card. She just said, I do not support the proposal. She dismissively, disdainfully, and firmly said, as she quickly turned her shoulder to me and tossed my card aside. So at least Cree Deeds, being smart, said, I'll listen to the convention of states ideas, because it's the only way. And I'm glad Nancy sent that email, because I wanted to bring it home on the point of the spear, which is the convention of states project. It's the only way forward, and it's the one that's written into the Constitution, so they can't even call you an insurrectionist. In any event, until tomorrow, we're going to be live from the Talkers Convention. I've been asked to do a presentation for our industry rag there. Michael Harrison will be on the show. We're also going to the Tea Party is back. Thank God, not a moment too soon. We'll talk to some of the folks who are leading the resurgence of Taxed Enough already. But to any and all of those, so long, and thanks for all the
being tuned in means Joe Thomas now. Lars Larson at 6. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.